We have to glorify God in every area.
Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Education, temple, work, in terms of what other areas, parenthood, and so on and so forth. We have to have victory in all these areas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes we find that as Christians, we are doing well spiritually, but in every other area we struggle. May God grant us the wisdom, the strength, the power, the understanding to be able to reign in every area of life in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear another amen?
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
May God cause us to have victory on every area, in every area of our lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. I don't feel like this is the beginning of a new year. Is it because we are few? Being few doesn't mean our amen should be low. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is here.
Amen.
God doesn't come based on number. Yeah. We're two or three. How many are we? We are more than two. And so, God is here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. So we must give him the glory. Now, for a very short time today, I want to carry on with the message that I've been preaching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this year, if you do not actively listen to my messages, then you are not serious with your spiritual life. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking at our website this morning, and I remember when we began our church, I was encouraging people to start listening to messages. And one of the concerns I had was that we don't have a library of messages. You understand?
Amen.
Because the church was new. But now after a couple of years, you can go to our website and find messages about a number of things. Amen.
Amen.
And as a pastor, I may not preach about certain topics. I don't know. I don't know what other pastors preach about, but you'll notice that my topics are very similar. I speak more or less the same thing. Maybe let's say I've not preached about a topic about how to be a good wife, how to be a good husband, and such things. But in my message about anything else, you will find wisdom of how to be a good wife, how to be a good husband, or anything else that you need in life. Do you understand?
Amen.
So, I want to encourage you to commit yourself into listening to messages this year. It is very important for our spiritual growth, okay?
Amen.
And we don't have excuses anymore. We now have a library of messages. So you can go there and search and look for anything that your spirit will receive. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, for the last couple of weeks, I have been talking about backsliding, isn't it?
Amen.
And I told you that this message of backsliding, I have no intention to make any of us feel bad. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday, we went to a funeral of Sister Mambro's grandmother. And where at the graveyards there at Hidali, where they were going to bury her, next door, there was another funeral where they are burying someone else that we don't know. And the pastor there was preaching. And if I remember correctly, he said, "We all backslide." And he said, "Even me yesterday, I backslid." Hey, Pastor. Hey. the pastor, he said, even me yesterday, so my mind was, what was pastor doing yesterday? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I'm not preaching this to cause anybody to feel anyhow, but I'm preaching this for us to decide to commit and to have a desire to be Christians that are on fire for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
So last week, I began to tell you that backsliding is not just something that affects individuals only. Backsliding can happen to groups also. Now, if you are a family, like for example, my surname is Mbandra, so I come from the Mbandra people. We are a group, isn't it?
Amen.
My family can backslide. Churches can backslide. You know the sound is, can you reduce the gain? The red one on top. Use that one and then increase the volume. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was I saying? Yeah, even churches can backslide. Amen.
Amen.
Communities can backslide. Countries can backslide. When the Queen died, the Queen of is it England? What do they call it? United Kingdom, whatever. I was watching her funeral, and one of the things that I noticed there, because I was asking God in my heart, man, because I was noticing that this United Kingdom is a blessed nation. They were a very strong superpower at one point in time, until America took over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wants to preach with me. Can you please just, everyone is focusing on him. On him, sorry. What was I saying? Yeah, I was looking at the United Kingdom. The Queen's funeral. And one of the things that I noticed was that the United Kingdom or Britain or whatever they call themselves, in the foundations of that country, one of the main things was that they're a Christian country. They're a country that believes in the Lord. In fact, when they were announcing the new king, King Charles, one of the titles that he had was the protector of the faith. In other words, as the King of England, one of his responsibilities is to make sure that he protects the faith. So you could see that at some point, this nation believed in God dearly. Anything they did as a nation, it was based on their knowledge of God, on their knowledge of the Word of God. Their faith was priority. But now, you can see that that nation is backsliding. If they haven't backslidden as yet. I hear that churches are closing down. Church buildings are being sold there. It's a disaster, spiritually. So nations can backslide. And if you ask me, America is also backsliding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we have to watch against this to ensure that our group, which is Healing Fire Ministries, we don't backslide as a group. That the church does not backslide. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe that if we can be on fire for God, then our community cannot backslide. And if we can keep growing, then our nation cannot backslide.
Amen.
May God cause us to grow in Him to the point that we can have an influence in our community. We can have an influence in our nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Let's hope that this one works. What was I saying? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's quickly go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 13, as a quick recap, and then we will get into what I have for you today. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. The book of Galatians chapter 1. Verse 13 and verse 14. Are we there?
Amen.
For ye have heard of my conversations in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So here, the church of the time, which before the Lord Jesus came, was, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all these groups. The Bible shows us that they had gotten to a point where they had backslidden. And one of their priorities, one of the things that they were passionate about, the Bible tells us, the traditions of their fathers. So they were no longer passionate about the things that God wanted them to be passionate about. But traditions had become one of those things that they are really passionate about. And the Bible shows us that one of those traditions was washing of hands that they've been sent. They were not passionate about preaching the gospel. They were not passionate about... If you didn't wash your hands, you've done something wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What do you think? So that is a church that had backslidden. Where they had lost the passion for the things that are important to God. And started focusing on things like washing hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's one more chair here. You can just take it and put it that side. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This morning, I'm really struggling to flow. But we will get there. Tell the neighbor, say, we will get there.
We will get there.
So we want to be careful of these things as a church. Can I tell you a story? One day, a certain friend of mine, Karaba, he told me a story that shook me. He told me in his previous church, I won't mention the church, that it's one of those Orthodox churches. That's all I will say. He used to be part of that church, and you know that church, you know, you go through a lot of processes, you know. And he was a full-fledged member of the church. And he said to me, every now and then, they would go on camps as a church. You know, we have been to some camps or retreats, or what we have called our camps. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said to me, they used to be so happy when they went to the camps. And he used to explain to me how the youth camps used to be. He said that when they would arrive, do you see when we were going to Sandile's wedding, how we gathered here before we left? He said that as people were gathering, they were coming with cooler bags. Yeah. Not with juice and water, with alcohol in them, as they are going to a church camp. Smoking, fornication, everything you can think of was happening in the church camp. Would you say that that church is still on fire for God? It's backslidden. So churches can backslide also. And we have to be careful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm talking about the marks of a church that is on fire. What are the things that you have to notice in a church to realize that a church is still passionate about God, is still passionate about the things of God, and has not backslidden? Because when a church backslides, my God, that's the worst thing that can happen. When a church backslides, the community backslides. When the church backslides, families backslide. When a church backslides, nations backslide. A church is so important to this world. That's why Jesus said, we are the salt of the world. That's why he said that we are the light of the world. When you remove the church, the whole world will be in darkness. One of our church members the other day was telling us that when they were growing up, I think she said she had asthma, if I remember correctly. And what did she say that her grandmother used to give her? Something to smoke to heal asthma. People go to all sorts of places that are bad for them when there is no church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So last week I told you that one of the marks of a church that is on fire for God is the Holy Spirit. A church that is full of the Holy Spirit cannot backslide. It cannot be a backslidden church. Where you can tangibly feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. When you can see the influence of the Holy Ghost, that is a church that is on fire. So Healing Fire Ministries must ensure that we are a church that is full of the Holy Ghost. Every member of this church must ensure that you are full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I told you that the most important thing that I want to highlight, because we opened the book of Acts from chapter 4 from verse 1, Jesus told his disciples that they must wait for the promise of the Father. And I told you that the promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. And a church that loves God, that is on fire for God, is a church that waits on God.
Amen.
Churches that no longer wait on God, those churches have backslidden. Churches that no longer fast, churches that no longer have fasting and praying, churches that no longer have sessions as a group. You see, fasting and praying alone is one thing, because that's your own personal individual relationship with God. But as a church, as a group, we must also fast and pray together. It's important.
Amen.
The Bible says one can chase 1,000. Two can chase how many? 10,000. Logically, two should chase away 2,000. But you can see that two, all of a sudden, are 10 times better than one. Do you understand?
Amen.
So it's good when you do it alone. But when we do it as a group, When we do it as a congregation, then it is 10 times more effective than when you do it on your own. So a church that no longer gathers to wait on the Lord is a church that has backslidden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know if I gave you number 2 last week. Those who write notes, can you check? All right. The second mark of a church that is on fire for God is the church that does evangelism. A church that does what?
Evangelism.
Evangelism. What does that mean? Winning souls. When a church does not do evangelism, such a church has backslidden. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. The book of Acts, chapter 1, from verse 8. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not there, say wait for me. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to them, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Then he says, "And ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the word of God. He says that you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come. And then he says, "Ye shall be witnesses of me." Another version says, "You will tell other people about me." That is evangelism. As a church, we have a strong responsibility of telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
As a church, we are the only organization on the earth that has been given the responsibility to convert a person from being a sinner to being a child of God by the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once the church stops doing that extremely important work, then what's the purpose of it? Why do we still have a church anymore if we are not winning souls? A church that has many programs and they don't have soul winning programs is a church that has lost its way. Let me show you some scriptures. Come to the book of Matthew 28. From verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. I know it's a new year. I should be preaching that this year, victory on all sides. Okay, please forgive me. Let me just preach what's in my heart. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Are we there?
Amen.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach," how many nations? Are you sure?
Amen.
Is it not only South Africa? How many? Do you know that there's plus minus 194 countries in the world? Are you sure all of them?
Amen.
Healing Fire Ministries, God is telling us that we must teach all nations. Our responsibility is not only mafias. Our responsibility is not only Mamelodi. We have to get to a point where our message must get to the whole world. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. This is something that the Lord Jesus, there's chairs there, you can sit down. This is something that the Lord Jesus told his disciples. And the disciples, if you like, are the founders of the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And I told you that if you want to know God's original intentions, you must go to the beginning. So in the beginning or the foundation of the church, the message that Jesus is saying is go and teach all nations. Let's check what he says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the mandate of the church. This is the responsibility of the church, to preach the gospel to every creature. There are people out there who need to hear the word of God. There are people out there who need to hear the message that God sent his only begotten Son to this world to die for our sins. There are people who are going to Sangomas not because they are defying God, but it is because it is all they know. There's nobody in their lives, there's nobody in their community who will come to them and tell them that there is a God who loves you, who sent his only begotten Son to die for you. If you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. There is somebody who doesn't know. And you know, you have that message in your heart. This year, it is time that you tell other people about that message that God has given you the privilege to be aware of. Just as somebody came to you one day when you knew nothing, they came and told you about this Jesus. You believed their message and they led you to Christ. And today you are a child of God because somebody came to you. Somebody never forgot that I have a responsibility to tell somebody else about Jesus. And therefore you are here today. You are born again. You can speak in tongues. You know the Bible. You know scriptures. You can fast and pray. It began by somebody who decided that somebody else must know about my Jesus. When a church forgets evangelism, when a church gets too busy for evangelism, then that church is useless. That church has no more use on the earth anymore. Because the mandate, the roots, the foundation of the church is go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every nation, to every creature. Anybody who's willing to hear you, tell them about Jesus. So at the level of our church, we don't have the means to be going and doing crusades. We are working on it. One day we will get there. But at the level that we are, we have to focus on evangelism. When we go into our community and tell them the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, or at the least, invite them to this house so that they can hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has done for them. Am I talking to somebody, or have you gone home?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, it's 2023 now. It's 2023. We have to get back to basics. We can be a young church but already backslidden. It's not only old churches that backslide. Let me give you a few more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. Are we there? The Apostle Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He says, woe, woe, woe. In other words, he says that I'll be in deep trouble if I do not preach the gospel. He says, I have a responsibility to preach the gospel. I don't preach it because I want to, or I don't preach it because I feel like it. I don't preach for any other reason. He says, it's my responsibility. And he says, woe unto me. In other words, I'm in trouble if I don't preach the gospel. And the gospel is that message of salvation that makes people aware of the sacrifice that God has done for them so that he can receive them as his children. Romans chapter 1, just write it down, don't go there. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jews first and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the only thing by which human beings can be saved. And it is only the church that has the gospel. And it's only the church that can distribute it to their family members, that can distribute it to their communities, that can distribute it to their schoolmates, that can distribute it to their nation and to this world. That's the only way that people can be saved. Yes, we can fast and pray, but somebody needs to step out and actually go tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
One of the greatest salvations I have personally seen, when I preached to an old man lying on a hospital bed, and I said to him, "Sir, can I please tell you about Jesus?" And he said, "Yes." And I preached to him and I told him about the Lord Jesus. When I finished, I asked him, "Would you like to be born again?" He said, "Oh, I would love to be born again." I'll never forget his words. It was like he was saying to me, "I've been waiting for somebody to come and tell me this." And I led him to Christ, and he got born again gloriously there. Do you have a salvation story as a child of God? Have you demonstrated your love for Christ, your passion for God, by telling somebody about Jesus? A stranger, leading a stranger to Christ. you concern yourself with other people's eternal destinies? Once a church stops evangelizing, that church has become useless. The foundation of our faith is that we must tell other people about Jesus. Not to judge people with our message. No, no, no. We want to bring them into salvation. We have that responsibility and we must do it. When we did this year, we must do it. Whether there's 3 people, 2 people, 1 people, we do it. So that the day we meet him face to face, we will say, Lord, we did our best. Whether other people join or don't join, we all have good excuses why we can't do it. But if we don't want to backslide as a church, we must. We must. Come quickly to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17. Are we there?
Amen.
It says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Look at the responsibility that God has placed on us. Ruth, he says that if he tells us that we should warn the wicked, that if they don't change their ways and die in their wickedness, if he tells us to go tell them and we don't tell them, the Bible says that he will require the blood of that wicked man from us. In other words, that person dying in his sins will be our fault. But he says that if we go and tell him and he chooses to stay with his wickedness after we have given him the message, and then it's his baby, you have saved your soul. May nobody's blood be in our hands in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your amen is not blessing me.
Amen.
We have to evangelize. We have to evangelize our families. We have to evangelize our community. We must be a church that focuses on evangelism. Because if we don't, we have backslidden. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
The last point for today. I'm talking about the marks of a church that is on fire for God. So how do you know that a church is on fire? So I told you the Holy Spirit. I told you evangelism. And finally for today, one of the things you'll notice in a church that is on fire for God is lives being changed. Transformation of lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Someone say transformation of lives.
Transformation of lives.
Come with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. From verse 37. Acts chapter 2. From verse 37. Are you there?
Amen.
I still see some Bibles turning. Acts chapter 2 from verse 37. The Bible says, now when they heard this, this is the preaching of Peter, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, as we can see here, the early church, when they were serving God and busy sharing the gospel all over Israel and the neighboring countries and all other countries that they went to, a lot of lives were changed. That word repent means to change your mind. It means you have to change. You have to be transformed. It means you used to be one thing and you changed to be another thing. A church that is on fire for God is where you see a lot of such transformations. Where people come in one condition, but over time, they are completely different. That those who live around them, when they see them, they say, wow. God is real. A church where lives are no longer changing is a church that is dead. It's a church that is backslidden. Lives must be transformed. People must be changed. I have met people who came to me and said, if I never met you, I would either be dead or in jail. They are meeting me and hearing the message of God in my heart and in my mouth to transform their lives. And as a church, as a congregation, each and everybody sitting here, we must have such testimonies. As a believer, that there are people around your life whose lives are changing because of you. Completely changing, completely transforming. I can tell you story after story. One gentleman, Dr. Vincent, he said that he used to chase women to a point where single women were no longer interesting him anymore. He was chasing married women. He loved hunting for the married ones. But when he heard the word of God, he left all those things behind and started serving God. One guy here, he came and testified here. He said, I will drink and I'll be here in Pretoria. Then the next day I'll wake up in Joburg and I don't know how I ended up in Joburg. And that person who testified has never drunk alcohol since he started coming in. Transformation of lives. And this didn't begin when I became a pastor. When I was a brother in the church. Anybody who came close to me, my life would influence them and their lives would change. It's not only the responsibility of the pastor. We as a church, everybody has the responsibility that whoever comes close to you, you must influence them with the gospel of the Lord. One of the things that I think we lack in our church is people who are sold out for Jesus. There are people who love Jesus in our church. Nobody can take that away from you. But there are people who are not sold out for Jesus. Over the last week or two, the Holy Spirit has been speaking in my heart. And I want to share with you what he's been telling me. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 12. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 12. And I'm going to close with this. I'm reading from verse 12 to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Is my message okay?
Amen.
Is it okay for the first day of January?
Amen.
All right. We are trying. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Amen.
From verse 12.
Amen.
But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, okay? A brother has a wife that doesn't believe, in other words, not born again. And she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible tells us, you know, are you going to get chairs? I'm almost finished. Just grab some bricks there and just sit on some bricks or something. By the time he comes back, I'll be finished. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when a married couple has issues, I will 99.9999999% of the time, I will never, ever, 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 ever encourage them to divorce. Except for that 0.00000000, I don't know how many zeros, 0.1. But I never encourage divorce. For this reason, this is the scripture that makes me not encourage people to divorce. And also, in a situation where one person is saved and another person is saved and is not saved, and they are not married, but they have children together. Majority of the time, 99.99999% of the time, I will never encourage them to break up, especially when children are now involved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the worst things that could happen is a child growing in the absence of a father or the absence of the mother. You understand? I like families that have both intact. A child that grows up with both parents in the house is different from a child that grows up with a single parent. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Bible says that we mustn't leave people just for the sake that they are not born again. Are you listening to me? Yeah. This is a situation where you are already in a relationship and then you receive the light. But if you are not in a relationship and you go for someone who's not born again, you're a fool. Tell your neighbor, you are a fool. I hope I didn't offend anyone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying to all of us here?
Amen.
Now the Bible says, continues to say, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. In other words, if you find yourself in that situation where you are in a marriage or in a relationship where your spouse is not saved, is not born again, the Bible says that you will sanctify the one who is not saved. That word sanctify means to let go of profanity. In other words, a life of sin. And they will dedicate themselves to God because of you, the one who is born again. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Let's read another scripture and then we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. First Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. Are we there?
Amen.
The Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, in other words, they are not born again, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, the Bible is telling us that somebody can be born again without being preached to on the street, in the church. But the Bible says that person can be won by the conversation of the wife or the other or the husband. That word conversation means the behavior, the conduct, how you live your life can win over your unbelieving spouse. Now, what God has been ministering to me over the last week or so is that people who we live with in the same house, the only way they can be born again is by our conduct as Christians, those of us who believe. Many of us, the reasons why the people in our homes don't become Christians or strong Christians is because our own conduct. Because you see there, they see you nicely. Here at church, we see you on Sunday. You are dressed nice. Huh? You are in your best behavior on Sunday. But the one who lives with you sees you when you wake up, sees you when you are snoring, sees you when you are angry, sees you when you are sad, sees you when you are going through every situation of life. So that person will not be necessarily won by what you say. Such a person will be won by what you do. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Now, if you take that same message and you bring it in the church, this is where sometimes the problem is. That Somebody comes to the house of God, receives the message, gets born again. But the Christians that that person finds in the church as wishy-washy Christians. They get born again, they commit themselves, their mind and their heart is, I want to now do right with my God. Do you understand?
Amen.
But then they meet a Christian. They find a Christian in the street, the same Christian they met in churches drinking alcohol. Can you see that the behavior of the other Christian is now not allowing the other Christian to be a strong one? Your amens are so very... Am I saying something wrong?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen, please?
Amen.
Or you don't like my message? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's so very important as a believer that you are a believer all the time. In good times, you must be a believer. When you are angry, you must be a believer. When you are sad, you must be a believer.
Amen.
When things are going your way, you must be a believer.
Amen.
When things are not going your way, you must be a believer.
Amen.
Because somebody is watching you. And it doesn't matter what you say, they are watching what you do. And what you do will be what causes them to be converted, for their lives to be transformed and changed. One time, many years ago, a friend of mine was interested in a certain sister in the church back then. And the brother was in love. Someone say he was in love. He was in love. And so one day I went to him and I said, "Hey, brother, how are things going?" And he told me something I'll never forget. He said, "One day I was arguing with this sister." Which is normal in a relationship, true or not true. They were arguing, I don't know about what. And then this friend of mine said, "The Bible says," and then the sister said, "Hey, put the Bible aside. Let's deal with this thing, you and me. And this was a Christian in the church. It wasn't an unbeliever sister. Who's saying, "Let's put the Bible aside." When I heard that, I said, "My friend, here you are being brave. You are being bold if you continue in this relationship." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, for lives to be transformed, we cannot be fake Christians. We have to be genuine Christians. Because the transformation of life is not necessarily just what we say. But for people's lives to be transformed, people need to see what we do. That what we say and what we do, they match. Some of us, when we get angry, the vomit that comes out of our mouth, may God help us. Put your hand on your head and say, "May God help us." Ask your neighbor, say, "Why do you have to swear? Why do you have to swear? When you are angry, why do you have to swear?" Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when someone sees you at church, sees you nicely at church, and then they meet you at home, and then you are swearing, they're like, "Oh, okay, we can do it as Christians. It's normal. It's allowed." And such a person can no longer change and transform their lives because they are watching at what we do. When we drink, when we fornicate, when we do all these funny, funny things. And also when we do not commit and be sold out to God. It's a message. When somebody who's new, who doesn't know God, they see from us how to worship God, how to love God, how to go deep with God. If we are not doing that, then we are presenting a certain picture of Christianity. Then such a person, before they even start, they're already backsliding, because they are surrounded by backslidden people. And the amens are very scarce today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have this year, 2023, we have to commit. Commit ourselves to being real Christians at all times, in public and in secret. I said what? In public and in where? In secret. In secret means when you are not in church. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Someone say in public,
public
and in secret. And I pray that God will bless us with people who are sold out for Jesus this year. When we went to Sandile's wedding, you know the highlight of the wedding for me? You'll be surprised what my highlight is of Sandile's wedding. After I finished preaching, I think even after we ate during the reception time, I went to the media table. I don't know what I wanted them to do. And another brother was sitting there with the Bible open and sharing with another brother in the wedding. I said, what? This is a serious Christian, this one. In the wedding. I don't know what they were sharing, but I saw him reading the Bible and I saw the other one listening. I said, my God, I like it. And I walked away. Then I needed to go and do something again. When I got there, they were still sharing. I said, these people are serious with God. Yeah, put your hands together. It's a good time to put your hands together. Now what is happening is that this person who is sharing is influencing the other one. And that's how that life will be transformed. Because it's not just saying. It must be our lives. We must live the gospel. It must be our life, our daily lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mama Ruth, when my church was going to the wedding, someone phoned me during the trip on the way there. They phoned Mom Ruth, they were talking to Mom Ruth. And I heard music. And it was loud. Not that, you know, because I could hear it through the phone. So I asked the person that was talking to Mambo, because she had put it on loudspeaker. I said, what is that music I'm hearing? And I don't know, the music was so loud that the person was struggling to hear me. And then they dropped the phone. I said, Mambo, did you hear what I heard? She said, yeah. I was so angry, I called Sandile. I said, can you tell that driver to correct himself now? And later, that same person called us, and I was hearing some gospel music. I said, yeah. Hey! But my heart was broken. There were 15 Christians in that taxi. How many? 15 Christians. And one unbeliever driver. and who influenced who. Christians, one unbeliever driver. The one unbeliever driver overcame all 15 Christians. And my question was one question: do you think that driver will ever be born again? It's not just what we say, it's what we do. How we live our lives. This is what brings a change to people. This year, our Christianity must be real. It must be real. It must be real. So, what were you telling me? There's a song that Obed sings. What was that song that you were telling me about that you were practicing? No, it's not great change. The latest one, Miracle Day. Is that what it's called? So apparently, the praise and worship were practicing there where we live this song. And so my daughter was looking at them as they were practicing. And then the song has a part of a solo where Obed is like kind of rapping. But it's rapping gospel, right? And my daughter heard the rapping type of it, and she was shocked. What are these people doing now? And her face was so confused. What are they? Because she's not used to the rapping type of music in our home. And my wife had to explain to her that no, it's still good music, okay? It's Christian music. Even the child knows this one. One time my brothers had left one of the channels open. And she came to me and she said, "Daddy, can you please change the channel for me?" And I said, "Why?" I said, "Somebody is playing the devil's music in the house." Yeah. And when I got there, indeed it was channel the funny, funny music. And I changed it for her. How does she know it's the devil's music? Because she knows that around her, there was once recently I was looking at my WhatsApp statuses, and you know, people now they take TikTok and make videos and whatever. So she said, "Daddy, you have TikTok. You have TikTok." I said, "No, my daughter, I don't have TikTok." I said, "No, it's just somebody has put it on their WhatsApp. Hence, I'm seeing it." And so one day, because I was asking myself, where does this child know TikTok from? You understand?
Right.
And so one day she came there and she was dancing some funny dance. And she was coming to Teddy, look, and she was doing the dance. And I said to her, "Where did you learn this dance? Where did you learn this dance?" And we had a visitor there at home. And the visitor was taking a TikTok video and she was doing the funny dance, so my daughter was copying her. And I said, "I must never, ever, ever see this dancing again here, okay?" And she said, "Yes, Daddy, sorry, Daddy." We have to live this thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, "Hallelujah."
Amen.
Let me share with you a dream that I dreamt recently, and then I close. Over these holidays, we had some visitors there. And one particular day, we were playing soccer on the yard. We played soccer, everything was fine. And then that night, when I went to sleep, I dreamt. Hello, are you still here?
Amen.
And I dreamt myself playing soccer like we were playing during the day. We were playing. And as we were playing, I saw poo-poo on the ground. Do you know what's poo-poo? And then I said to my daughter, pick it up and go throw it in the bin. And she picked it up with her bare hands. And she went and threw it. And then there was another one. I said, pick it up and go throw it again. And she went and picked it up. And she went and threw it. And I woke up like that. When I woke up, I was so sad. How can I tell my daughter to pick up poo-poo with her bare hands? And I was crying in my heart that, Lord, what is this thing? And immediately the Holy Ghost gave me what he was telling me. The Lord said to me, your daughter is picking up bad things. Because there's many people around the house. Some people are listening to funny music. Some people are doing this. Some people, and she's picking up some of these things. I told my wife about it. I called my daughter. She's 5 years old. Some of the things I can't really explain to her, but I tried for her level. I said, sister, when you see other people doing certain things, it doesn't mean that you must also do it. Do you understand? She said, I understand, Daddy. Now, why am I telling you this story? The same thing happens to us as believers also, where we pick up a lot of bad things in the world. We pick up bad music. We pick up bad language. We pick up a lot of bad things that cause us to be wishy-washy Christians. In 2023, may we be real Christians that will make our God proud. Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand the message I'm trying to share with you. The time is close for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be more and more serious about our walk with God. Hallelujah. So for lives to be transformed, it starts with me and you. We have to commit. We have to be sold out to Jesus so that the people that the Lord brings around us, their lives can be changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.